don't want to be a deal about testimony. Ashama Tele Kurisi Kuruma. No more bitterness than Kurik, but they are drowned in Thursday's major year. There are not Thursday, March 14th, it's what Thursday, April 15th, or not Hawaii. Larry, I go make you gross, I go make war all of Sunset. Of any book where you're back by your tattoo that was in a slay. Or what barrel do what on so me or no matter to Koro did it do? Or my yig be a yak by the sinner. Yes,
Fresh 107.9 FM. La Beluma. Okile Fala Fala.
Fresh 107.9. Invigorating.
The gates and doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him.
Dolly Parton with this evergreen. He's alive, and what a way to start the show on Easter Monday. Good morning, welcome to Freshly Pressed. He is risen. Ah, yes. Friday, or 3 days earlier, significantly, he was killed, buried, and rose up on the third day, and to later descend, or later ascend, up to his Father in heaven. And that's the significance of Easter. That's what we're all celebrating this time around. For those of you who have public holidays to enjoy, kudos to you. Congratulations to you. Some of us are here. No holidays, no hope for holidays.
Yeah.
Omoyemi, you know that joke, the popular one. Anytime around Easter, you start hearing a lot of grammar flying around.
Yes.
He's risen.
He has arose. He has arisen.
Mm-hmm. But regardless of what, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is up and running this morning as usual. So welcome to the show. My name is Emmanuel, okay? Here is hoping that you enjoy your holidays and you hope that you have an amazing Easter just as I heard.
My name is Omoyemi Adesoye, and today is April 1. It is April Fool's Day. Nobody should fool me today. Like, I'm on guard. I'm guiding, like, you know.
You think we should fool our listeners?
Yeah, like, I actually thought about it yesterday.
Okay.
I was like,
this is the size of our offering this morning on Freshly Pressed.
Yeah, we have to go now.
Enjoy some great music up till 8 o'clock.
Let's play them reggae.
Yeah.
You can dance to reggae.
So enjoy music for your holidays. Ustaz just came in as we signed out of the show. Apologies, sincere apologies to you. We can continue with the show this morning. But then tomorrow, Wednesday, we also have another opportunity to talk about the great issues of flying around. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Good morning. Apologies, and I did get Ustaz.
Ustaz said kilo shele.
Honestly, you got me. I forgot this is April 1, April 4.
Ustaz, you've been fooled.
This thing used to be a very serious thing in secondary school.
Of course.
You wouldn't know where the prank will come from.
Yes.
April 4.
Just like it caught me now.
No matter how much you're guarding, like, it will just catch you. Like, oh, God, I fear for that.
Okay, so I think it's safe now. I have one person in Ustaz. Welcome to the show this morning. It promises to be engaging as usual. April or whatever, we'll never deny you are Freshly Pressed. It comes to your airwaves from 7 to 8. So rest assured that we're here to serve you, holidays or no holiday. My name is Emmanuel, okay?
And my name is Omoyemi Adesoye.
I have the Punch newspaper with me this morning. Easter, governors, senators beg Nigerians, say hardship over soon. And away from that, Naira closes 1,309 Naira to a dollar as banks sell $2.5 billion. Kaduna governor dismisses El-Rufai's son's attack. APC suspends women leader. Benue APC falls apart as Akume, Alia, power tussle worsen. Pipeline vandalism. Federal government may transport crude oil via trucks. Army determined to defeat terrorist bandits. That's coming from the Chief of Army Staff. Dangote 106 orders get tax holiday of over 2.5 trillion naira investments in the Punch newspaper this morning. There's still some interesting stories for you to track in the Punch newspaper this morning. Grab a copy and get your biggest stories from there.
And on the Nigerian Tribune this Monday morning, Kaduna Governor El-Rufai called war. APC must take responsibility. That is coming from Lukman. On the 2024 primary, PDP APC amassed 0.8 billion naira from nomination, expression of interest, farm sales. And there is this report, 13 new governors borrowed 226 billion naira in 6 months there this morning on the Nigerian Tribune. And there are some more headlines to take a look at as well this morning. IMF warns against fiscal financial risk of high debt, slow growth world. That is also there as well this Monday morning.
Let's check out the online dailies in Ogun State here. I have Platform Times and Pen Pushing. In the Platform Times, how police tortured cow seller to death, dumped body in Ogumog. And you picture story here. Controller Madu Shaibo of Customs Ogunwan Command has urged community chiefs and youth leaders to educate their constituents about motorcycle regulations and traffic laws. And away from that, Nigerian Army's professionalism at risk, says Bishop Kuka. Police arrest Islamic cleric and two others with human hands, kidneys, heart, others. And exclusive communal crisis erupts. Suspected Mudakeke's allegedly murder member of Ife royal family. Police silent. Bandits strike luxury bus, raise vehicle on Ogun Highway. APC suspends El-Rufai ally for criticizing Governor Sani. Police arrest fake soldier declared wanted by the military. And presidency criticizes Peter Obi for exploiting ethnic and religious divides. You find that in the Platform Times. Pen Pushing has the stories. Gunmen abduct three students of the University of Calabar. Police arrest fake soldier declared wanted by the military. And police arrest suspected ritualist in Ondo State. Nigerian government postpones start of Port Harcourt Aba train service. And father, son allegedly beats neighbor's wife to death over sales of Kpomo. You find that in Pem Pushing newspaper this morning.
And on The Guardian, oil theft persists in Niger Delta despite militarization, private security that is there. Sani Wike, others get ultimatum to publish agreement, account for 5.9 trillion naira, $4.6 billion loans. And there is also this headline, I kind of like how they wrote it here. Labour Party going, that is how they put it there on The Guardian this morning. And there are more. Armed robber attempting to snatch motorcycle from police arrested in Lagos State. Groups attack NNPCL on alleged multi-billion naira pipeline contract also there as well this Monday morning. Prove Matawale gave bandits palliatives of face prosecution. That is coming from the APC to the PDP this Monday morning.
Oh, let's welcome Ustaz to the conversation this morning. Happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. After the April Fool hullabaloo, how will I put it? It's good to welcome back. And happy Easter to our listeners at home. And I just read the best of season I've just started.
Amen. Amen. Let's start with some interesting Easter messages. And this is, the popular Matthew Hassan Kuka. For some reason, he has not criticized President Tinubu yet. Maybe he's giving him ample time. Surely Soyinka also said something similar sometimes, earlier this year, that you give a person enough time before you start criticizing. And in my mind, I was thinking, hey, now that holidays are coming, will this man talk? And he spoke generally. He said Nigerian leaders like men in drunken stupor. That's the word. Those are the words of Kuka. The Catholic Bishop of Sokoto Diocese, Matthew Kuka, on Sunday said for over 60 years, Nigerian leaders have looked like men in a drunken stupor who stumble and fumble while searching for the way home. Kuka, in his Easter message made available to newsmen, call on the federal government to come up with a robust template for how it wishes to reverse and put the country on the path of national healing. He said our leaders chose the feast rather than the fast. We are today reaping what we sowed yesterday. For over 60 years, our leaders have looked like men in a drunken stupor, staggering, stumbling and fumbling, slurring in speech, with blurred visions, searching for the way home. The corruption of the years of a life of immoral and sordid debauchery has spread like cancer, destroying all our vital organs. The result is a state of hangover that has left our nation comatose. Notwithstanding, Easter is a time to further reflect on the road not taken. It's a time to see if this Golgotha of pain can lead us to the new dawn of the resurrection. Nigeria can, and Nigeria will be great again. Let us ride this tide together in hope. Poetic, assuring, as you may see.
Oh, thank you. If there's any personality that I respect in Nigerian Christian space, it's Reverend Father Kuka. It's been long out there. I remember that while he was in Lagos, or when I was in Lagos, there were times, because I was representing the Grand Council for Islamic Affairs, that we have reasons to do one or two few things together and at other level. So he's a person who is well respected, not just by me, but a lot of Nigerians, and he's highly cerebral. We can't take that away from him. Whatever he has said now, to me, it's the point. But the challenge I have is, apart from this press release, I don't know, it's as if he appeared on channels. I didn't monitor it, okay, and say a lot of other things, you know, there. But this is right. And I think for the first time, we are getting our leader, we are getting leadership that seems to know what is to be done. I think for the first time, we seem to be getting leaders that seems to know, look, this is where we are going. But we cannot take away those facts. And when I say that, I am looking beyond just the national government. I am equally looking at some, sub-nationals. Governor Soludo is one miracle that is coming up. I don't know, in Anambra, yes, it started a bit slowly, and it's understandable. But when you look at it now, the actions and steps he's taking regarding governance shows that he seems to have a template for the future. So if we are able to, you know, leverage on some of the promises that are offered by these leaders, I think Nigeria will be out of the wood very soon. And the idea of leaders being drunken, we can't say no to that. It will be a thing of the past. The other things it said, something about robust
template for healing.
Is that what I'm taking now?
Yes.
Okay.
But you can go ahead and
Template for the military. I don't know what...
For Nigeria's healing process.
Exactly. I don't know what Faraka is referring to here. But I think what we are talking about now...
talking about setting a deadline on war against terror.
That's good. Mm. But when he said implementation, that soldiers' professionalism or something like that, military professionalism is being questioned because of the involvement of, the local vigilante structure.
Yes.
I think going forward, and at the level we find ourselves, there is no way we can do without local security initiatives. Because some of the things that happen within our locality are things that people of locality knows about. And the military is so far from the grassroots. Equally, the police. Look, crime might be committed in the locality, and the police will not be able to apprehend the criminal. Mm. But a local vigilante or somebody within that locality will be able to apprehend. And that's why this famous musician, I can't remember whether Oshukpa, whatever they call them, he said, Ntoloka Banle, Tolong Ogba Horo, Ogba Koro, Konish Ontation Ni. In other words, the nooks and crannies of the community is known to the locals and not to the police. So there is no way we will have a robust intervention towards solving crime in Nigeria. It's not just banditry and terrorism, but eventuality of the crime in Nigeria, totality of the crime in Nigeria, that will not involve the locals. And to me, that is part of the robustness of, you know, an outfit that can help us to stand, to fight, crime to stand still. But give it to him, Father Kuka, as usual, brilliant submission.
Just to add and give you an insight to what said on channels, he said that he feels the nation's security architecture is robust enough, and they have enough machinery and all. But he said he doesn't see the government's will. That is what the thing is lacking. You know, the government's will to end insecurity. That was what he said.
Well, I will share that with him too, because you can imagine the issue of state police, forest rangers, it hasn't discussed with the governors. Nothing really has happened now. Out of the state governors, they say only out of the 36 states, plus one, 37, only 16 submitted memoranda, for state policing. Then the forest ranger, no governor or no state has come up, to show any sign of seriousness regarding that. So I think I share that with him, that in terms of political will, we're not getting the best from the robust architecture that we have proposed. We're not getting the best, and we can't take that away from him. We need the leadership at the subnational level to come up strongly too when it comes to governance.
Well, I was still talking about the Easter parade and the messages. JAMB registrar Isha Koloyede said Nigerians more religious than godly. That is there on the Punch newspapers this morning. The registrar, Joint Admissions and Matriculation Board, Professor Isha Koloyede, has described Nigerians as religious people who are not necessarily godly. According to him, many Nigerians shun hard work but turn to prayers. Things thinking being religious will guarantee them results. Oloyede called on Nigerians to harness the vast endowment of the country to turn the situation around. He said Nigerians should, for instance, exploit the country's agricultural potential, noting that Nigeria was endowed with vast arable land, water, and weather suitable for different crops across different regions. And the rest is there this morning on the Punch newspapers. Like many Nigerians, have often talked about the fact that, yes, you know, Nigeria, we have so many churches, so many mosques here and there, but still the attitude, the behavior of, you know, Nigerians sometimes make one question.
Okay, we remember when we started Ramadan, and you asked me to make a comment regarding Ramadan, and, you know, and I said, look, I will take the two. Ramadan is on, Lent too is on. But if you ask me to give you my objective analysis of Nigeria, we are not getting the best of religion. Despite the proliferation, when we were younger and the religion was not this proliferated, we were getting the best of morals in Nigeria. Now we've lost it. In the news, you read in Ondo, an Islamic cleric was caught with hands of human beings, etc. And we've read that severally, even before now. Now, how come when we are more religious houses and bodies have strung up, we now have this level of criminality? A boy playing football with his colleague strangulated him to death. A man, you know, killed his wife. Father and son beat somebody to death. All this kind of things coming up. And when you look at it, quite a number of those people that are involved in this crime are mosque and church goers. So we need to look inward. Religion is, for now, not playing the role it should play in our polity. Our religious leaders are now more political than wanting to serve God. They are using that platform to get political patronage than wanting to be men of God. It's one area that we need to look into. And I give it to Professor Ishaq Oloyede, which you people call Ishaq. It doesn't matter. It's pronunciation that matter. Ishaq Oloyede, that's why he's not popular among his people. At the Supreme Council level, he's not popular. You know, and across board, he's not popular. Because he's a man that will say it the way he has seen it. Whatever it is that you feel is your business. The truth is, Nigeria is not benefiting from the proliferation, from the many religious houses and bodies that we have now. Nigeria is here to benefit. So religious leaders should come up with what I feel, or I want to call, a solution. Wholesome, comprehensive, across board, the two main religious bodies. And you can bring the third one, you know, the traditional worshippers. Bring them into it. Can you give us a template for new morale in Nigeria that will give us a new narrative? It's a way forward.
In the Punch newspaper, Easter, governors, senators beg Nigerians, say hardship over soon. As Nigerians celebrate Easter, governors, senators, and other prominent individuals have urged Nigerians not to lose hope in the face of the economic challenges in the country. Let's grab some of the messages. Interesting lot. In his Easter message, the Borno State Governor, Babagana Zulum, called on the Christian community in the state and Nigeria to pray for Tinubu to succeed in administering the affairs of Nigeria. On his part, the Ogun State Governor, Prince Dapo Abiodun, urged Nigerians to be hopeful of a better tomorrow and to have faith in the country's leadership. Also, the Akwa Ibom State Governor, Umoeno, urged Nigerians not to be discouraged by the economic downturn the nation was facing, but to be hopeful of a better tomorrow. Lagos State counterpart, Babajide Sanwo-Olu, called on residents to be Christ-like by reducing the cost of commodities as the naira appreciates against the dollar. I guess that's a practical one. Also, the Delta State Governor, Sheriff Oborewori, urged Deltans and other Nigerians to show love to one another and be willing to make sacrifices for the nation's greater unity, peace, and progress. And Ayedatiwa also said, as you forgive, the Lord will relieve you of anger, resentment, and pain, and bring you peace. and on like that. Obaseki, all of them talking about good ideals during Easter. So pass out that message of love this time around. Let's leave messages behind us and touch on some stories. Pipeline vandalism. Federal government may transport crude oil via trucks. The federal government has adopted a virtual means of evacuation of crude oil that involves the utilization of barges and trucks for the transportation of crude from the point of production to injection and storage point for eventual transportation to export terminals. It said the alternative crude oil evacuation systems was implemented to avoid production deferment, losses, and other undesirable consequences as a result of pipeline disruption and outages. This is contained in a new presentation by the Nigerian Upstream Petroleum Regulatory Commission on Stability in the Nigerian Energy Sector, Integrated Strategies for Infrastructure, Transportation and Security, obtained by Punch Correspondent in Abuja on Sunday. Nigeria loses trillions of naira to crude oil theft and pipeline vandalism annually, a development that made the government consider virtual means of transportation. Ustaz, this is an interesting story we have on our hands. One of the things that was responsible for the road infrastructure decay we have in Nigeria today was the shift away from our old railway track system for cargoes. And we saw accidents, we saw trucks everywhere now, and it looks like they won't go again. And now the government is talking about alternative means of moving crude oil. You look at the amount that can move at once. And I recall there's also a ban on extremely large trucks, the 33,000 liters. So let's assume you have the maximum 33,000 liters of truck at once. How much crude oil would that move in Nigeria of today?
Even if
rather than
45.
Look at ways of protect the pipeline.
Yeah, even if you have a 45,000 capacity truck, which is out there, I still wonder what volume will be transported. Now, looking at the size of the ocean freight liners that are used in moving crude across international borders. But a lot of things are packed in that news. We need to quickly unpack. We cannot deny the fact that oil theft has been a major menace when it comes to economic development of Nigeria in the past, God knows when. I know of bunkering for almost 30, 35 years now. People might like, what are you saying? Yes, bunkering as in on. It's not a new thing. And quite a number of big boys in Nigeria involved. And that's why it has not been easy, to be defeated. That's it. And all the challenges we are having in the south-south and the south-south area now, the Niger Delta region, is as a result of this bunkering. Government knows those that are involved, and that's the truth. They are men and men of the same caucus. They know what is happening. It's just like when we talk of subsidy, fuel subsidy, and government said, look, we're removing subsidy. And people said, no, don't remove your subsidy. Go and attack those that are stealing the money. And I said, look, government knows those that are there. They know they cannot fight them. That's why I said, look, when you don't see this thing again, you have nothing to steal. They are applying the same strategy towards this. But not to your question. Will it suffice? No. But it can give us a temporary relief from the present challenges. Pending, perhaps, I am now thinking for government, for that agency of government. Pending power, when they are able to bring about the necessary technological infrastructure that we see working in other areas. We know what Aramco of Saudi is doing with technology to monitor its oil wells and how the oil moves with pipelines, within pipelines and using pipeline technology is the best way to eat. Very cheap and shouldn't be of any issue to anybody. But given our situation in Nigeria, government is like okay, can we find a way to shore up production? Because Nigeria needs the money that is coming from there. We just spoke about Naira falling now. If we have enough crude oil that we can sell, don't forget that all the ones we are producing now have been sold up front by the last government of PMB. So they need to bring up more volumes so that they can start earning revenue. That is one. We need to do more so that people like Dangote, et cetera, can have enough to refine and perhaps be able to free the fund we use in importing fuel. All these will eventually add more value to our economy. So there's need for us to shore up production. Maybe this is the strategy they want to approach. But I can assure you that, from what I know of that industry, is not the best solution. But we might be able to manage it for now, pending where they're able to bring about a more robust... So
you're looking at the palliative solution.
Palliative solution. Thank you for that word.
It's 7:30 a.m. from our studios on here at Fresh 107.9 FM. You're listening to Freshly Pressed. We'll take this quick break. We'll be back with more stories. Please stay with us.
Nigeria of today, a source of income cannot fulfill that dream of yours. Come, let's support your vision at SSGS School of Interior Designs and Decoration. It is our mission to build the next set of CEOs. Come and tap into the initiative by enrolling for full interior design, software training that include AutoCAD, ArchiCAD and Lumion. Our students also benefit from our sophisticated practical classes. It is our profession to make you a home at SSGS. We are also into sales and supplies of office and home interior design. SSGS School of Interior Designs and Decoration is located at Olusegun Oshobawe, beside Ace Supermarket, Okelewo Abeokuta. Call or WhatsApp 0912-932-7370 or 0703-665-1846.
Lagos, get ready for an unforgettable experience at NPC Expo 2024.
Themed Spark, where creativity meets innovation in the world of photography, cinematography, and content creation.
Get inspired by a line of esteemed facilitators like Bayo Omoboriowo,
Kelechi Amadiobi, Camera Boss, London, and Captain Dexy, the director, Tribe of Judah.
Join Talma as she takes us through the process behind her craft. Dande Films
and Rear Magic will host a wedding masterclass. Transformers Photography will take us into the world of AI in photography.
NBC Expo Lagos is happening at the NBCC Plaza, Lekki Phase 1, Lagos, Nigeria,
on the 27th and 28th of March, 2024.
Registration fee is 50,000 Naira and you get certification.
Register now at www.npcexpo.ng
or call 0810 051 2628.
Host Broadnet Concepts in partnership with FEMA's Group.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Still freshly pressed on Fresh 107.9 FM Abeokuta this Monday morning. I'm moving on very quickly on the Nigerian Tribune. There's this report. 13 new governors borrowed 226 billion Naira in 6 months. No fewer than 13 new state governors collectively borrowed 226.8 billion Naira from domestic and external financiers in the first 6 months after taking office, according to an analysis of the latest subnational debt report released by the DMO. The external debt was calculated based on the exchange rate of 889 Naira to a dollar used by the Debt Management Office in its report. The subnational debts are classified into domestic borrowings from local creditors and external borrowing from international creditors like the World Bank, International Monetary Fund. But there is a reaction to that particular report by the Benue State governor, because his state was mentioned and it was said that he also borrowed some money. Benue governor denies borrowing since inception. Benue State governor I. St. Aliyah has denied borrowing money since the inception of his government on May 29. The denial is coming on the eaves of the subnational debt report by the DMO. He said that he has never borrowed any money since he assumed office on May 29. But away from that, also 26 billion naira within 6 months, new governance. I thought like they are getting new money from the subsidy.
Oh, thank you. I agree with you. I don't want to dwell on whatever is happening in Benue or not. DMO has their fact. If he has a counterfact, let him present. But let's look at the subnational as a whole. I have been an advocate of subnationals. If they work, Nigeria will work. If, like President Olusegun Obasanjo, former President Olusegun Obasanjo said, that if there can be governance in the state up to about 30%, I can't remember the way he phrased it, but he gave a percentage. If we can have some governance happening in the subnational to a level of 30%, then Nigeria's problem will go away. And I want to agree with him. Now, governors will come in, most of new ones. They will tell you they have met an empty treasury. And because they want governance to continue, they will need quick money. I remember the first term of the Ogun State governor, when he first came in, he had the same challenge, which he told us, that the governor of governance of Ibikunle Amosu left nothing in the treasury. And he couldn't pay salary, he couldn't do one or two few things. He needed to run to commercial banks to get money to pay salary and etc. So that's what the money giver's excuse. However, your information is now genuine or is coming in now to counter that. When they came in, they had a lot of windfall in inverted commas from the removal of fuel subsidy. So what I think governors need to do more is to work more on how to, increase their IGR. To me, Nigerian governors or subnational government don't have business borrowing money for development. And I will explain. We saw what happened in Western Nigeria under Awolowo, etc., the way they used agriculture.
You're talking about some 60 years ago.
Yes, but agriculture is still lucrative. The world is hungry. We can sell. Look, do you know how much a ton of, cocoa is now in the market? It's about $2,500. I can't remember again. Something huge. Unlike when it was selling for $900 or something like that. It has not increased. You understand? So, I don't know whether it's 900,000 or
I don't know the amount, but I know it's reasons yes. so high in the last few months.
So, why can't you still make money from cocoa? Do you know what it's going on with cotton and several other things?
I wish my father has cocoa farms.
Why can't they invest in this? Land belongs to the subnationals, not to the federal government. But what we see happening now is that it's only national government that is functional. I asked that question last week. I'll ask again. When fuel subsidy was removed, a lot of subnationals, governors, came up and said, we are doing this, we are doing that. Can we track and see which of them did what they said they would do? Meanwhile, the national government kept on pumping out money for them. So the problem is the managers of our subnationals are docile. That's the problem.
Usas, let's switch stories now.
Our subnationals, people must now focus on the governors, on governance in their state.
This is in the Vanguard newspaper. Peter Obi plays dangerous politics. Never comments on Tinubu's good works on Onuga. The quote there is, what I know about the campaign of Obi was that for the first time in a very long while in our country, we had a candidate who was inflaming ethnic passions. That was the way the election went at that time. It was inflaming ethnic passions, religious passions, bringing two dangerous things to our politics, ethnicity and religion. That is what he did. And those things were dangerous to our Nigerian politics. The restored by Onanuga, media aide to President Tinubu. has made serious allegations against Peter Obi, the presidential candidate of the Labour Party in the 2023 election. Onanuga accused Obi and his supporters of working against the success of President Tinubu's government. Onanuga recently claimed in an interview with Mycon that Obi engages in dangerous politics. He emphasized that members of the Obedient Movement and their candidate, Obi, seem to be pleased when the country faces economic challenges. This suggests that they revel in the depreciation of the Naira. Onanuga also added that the supporters of Obi, presidential candidate of the Labour Party, are desperate to see the downfall of the President Bola Tinubu administration. The story is long, on and on. Peter Obi plays dangerous politics. Never comment on Tinubu's good works. Onanuga.
Onanuga is doing his work. He has to remain in the news if he's going to be relevant. And it's news like this that will make him to be relevant. But my comment, let's look at it objectively. His remark, Onanuga's comment, has two sides. There is a side to it that normally is speaking to the narrative we have out there regarding the last presidential election. None of us, and nobody out there who wants to be objective, will deny the fact that religion and what do you call it, ethnicity, came, you know, strongly in that election. We can't really deny it. We saw it happening everywhere and there. Even myself sitting down here, I was one way or the other involved. When it got to a level, you know, kind of, But suddenly, wisdom prevailed. People called and said, no, this is the way to go about it. And that's the truth. So we cannot deny that fact that in our system, when that election was going on, religion and ethnicity played a huge role. We saw it playing out in Lagos. We saw it playing out in the East, all over. But for him to have said Peter Obi has not made any positive comment regarding the government of Bola Ahmed Tinubu, I might not agree with him totally, because I can remember one, and I know you helped me with one. I remember that when Oroshanye report came out, Peter Obi applauded that decision. I remember I read it in the news. And I'm just like you added, when, what do you call it, Beta Edu came up too, you are right. He, even Atiku too, you know, spoke well that, yes, that's a good one. So we need to equally acknowledge that. Whatever it is that has made Onanuga to come out with this kind of news now, I don't know.
But maybe it's because some of the things Onanuga said, he said for the first time in a long time, religious politics was stoked. Religious and ethnic lines were stoked. But you see the Nigerian politics, year in after year, that is what it is.
Yes.
But some people even told Jonathan they would make the country ungovernable for him.
I know.
So is it factually correct to say Obi is the first person to...
It's not factually correct. But you see, before now, whatever we do with religion and ethnicity is not brought out in a way that is suggested that we are desperate. The way Ammanite came out in the last election was such that people were throwing, you know, caution to the wind. In the past, people do it gently. I know in the north, who to vote for on Saturday, mostly a discussion on the Friday khutbah in the various mosques, one way or the other. We can't deny that, even in the past. But this one, a lot of people became so, brazen. They became, there was this effrontery, you know, and just going about it like this is the way it should be. I think that perhaps, I will not take it away from Onanuga, but religion and ethnicity has always played a role in how our result has gone. But finally, maybe one thing that made him to make that comment now regarding Peter Obi is that I saw him too having, breaking fast, you know, iftar session with a lot of Muslim group here and there. I don't see that as a problem. I think it's even an improvement. It's a way of showing, look, you're my brothers, we are Nigerians, I'm with you. Than not wanting to associate with them, that one will have taught us.
But he has corrected that notion. He said he's been doing that for years.
I don't know. But now don't forget that doing that for years was when he was, you know, a subnational politician. Now he's a national politician. So
there's more news, attention.
Yes. People run after him more now.
Let's touch on some other stories this morning. Independent Pushing. Pen Pushing Media is an inspiration for upcoming journalists, says Olabi Oladejo, the chief executive officer of Metropolitan Broadcasting Services, owner of Impact Television and Impact Business Radio, with headquarters in Ibadan. Dekin Olabi Oladejo has affirmed that Pen Pushing Media is a blessing for upcoming journalists. Pen Pushing reports that Oladejo made this known while addressing journalism students undergoing training with the media outlet during his visit to the corporate headquarters of Pen Pushing, located in Leme Axis, Abiola Way, Abeokuta. The media owner commended the editorial board and management of Pen Pushing for the hard work and dedication towards adding value to journalism profession across the world, expressing satisfaction on the positive impact of the globally known media organization. And there's one last story this morning. UCH calls for public support to settle for 95 million naira electricity debt. I know you're interested in that. Let me quickly read a part of the story. This is reported by Medalinks Media Africa. The University of Ibadan College Hospital is currently facing a dire situation as it grapples with a staggering electricity bill of 494 million naira, leading to a disconnection of power supply by the Ibadan Electricity Distribution Company. After enduring a blackout for 14 days, the hospital's management has reached out to the public, pleading for financial assistance to settle the outstanding debt and mitigate the effects of the power outage. I also tracked that story yesterday on one of our programs in Ibadan. That is Agbami Oshilu. I monitored, and the PRO of the institution came to seek for funds. They said they've been paying in bits, but that as of that month, they still paid about 45 million naira before the disconnection. Oritamefa is the name UCH is known as. It is great to have the place disconnected as it is. But it brings us to that point. When push comes to shove, there's pressure on IBEDC from the federal government and from people, and now they're returning that pressure to institutions. But a place like a health institution to be disconnected, I wonder. And one of the things blamed was this treasury single account thing. They said the allocation they receive for electricity is minimal compared to what they consume.
A lot of things are involved there, Emmanuel. Like you said, I am interested in that story. Now, my first comment would have been the management of UCA should be sacked. But when you gave the insight on the information of what happened on your sister station in Ibadan and the information, well, I understand. That's my position. That is not as if UCH just sat back.
No.
And we're not paying, you know, what do you call it? IBEDC. No, I told people in some other discussion on another platform that no, that they will have been paying. But you see, it is getting to a level that we need to start asking IBEDC to be accountable. Look, this issue of pushing pressure on consumers and painting us like criminals who wants to steal energy should come to an end. We need to know how UCH came about that huge burden. That is one. And I'm saying this because as a private individual, I know the kind of bill they've brought. And for people outside, that cannot be accounted for. When you are on a meter that is not prepaid, they keep on giving you bills.
But you look at the size of UCH.
I am coming to that. Please.
It also has... I'm also trying to help you out with the explanation of the PRO. Because the anchor, that's Elijah Abode Salami, asked the question, how did you consume that amount? And one of the ways of answering is that they also have campus students of the medical college there with hostels. They have hospital facilities and a couple of other things inside UCH.
All right, wait. Some of these things, they are complex. But let me just unravel what I'm trying to say. Let me unpack. Look, when they give you these bills, I know UCH will be on commercial. It is not like you and I on the street. And they read whatever they've given to them based on the transformer. Because they might be on the direct feeder that comes in straight from their station. And they read that thing from there. I'm not saying no to that. But I'm only saying that they need to come out too and do some level of accountability. But two, don't forget UCH equally still said, according to the report, IBDC said UCH has about 70 diesel transformers. And they tried to calculate how much they use in generating the kilowatt compared to how much they are charging them to pay.
How is that their business?
No, wait. Let's even look at it from that angle. That it is cheaper for them to patronize IBEDC than the money they spend on generator. The question I ask is, why will UCH want to power generator if they have constant supply from IBEDC? So the challenge Nigerians are having is that we all have our budget for utility. Listen, just like UCH said, there is an amount of money that is budgeted for utility in their budget. When the supplier, the discos, don't give you enough electricity, you have to look for alternative. And you are dipping your hand into your budget for electricity utility. By the time you use that money now to buy diesel, buy all this, you don't have enough to pay them when they eventually give you what they said they have given you. And that's the challenge. Nigerians spend more money generating power for themselves privately than what is coming from the public. I am a living bitter experience of this. Mm-hmm. So this is the issue. What I'm saying is IBEDC should just not come and start, you know, painting us that we are thieves, we are criminals. If we have energy that is well metered coming from them regular, some of these things will not be there.
We'll take this break. We'll open the phone line. So please stay with us.
Yes, salam. IAS Unique Homes and Properties. Lucky Bobo Musulu Biko Amojuba. Oshua we Ramadan to one day.
Bákan náà ni wọ́n tún ń rán wa létí wípé ilẹ̀ ní ká kọ́kọ́ gbìyànjú láti ní tá a bá fẹ́ donílé lórí. Ǹjẹ́ ìwọ mọ̀ wípé ìwọ náà lè donílẹ̀ tó fọkànbalẹ̀ pàápàá lásìkò Ramadan yìí? Ìwọ lówó tó ń bẹ lọ́wọ́ rẹ ò tó nǹkan kò lè ka owó ilẹ̀. Eléyìí tó wà lọ́wọ́ rẹ yìí náà kọ́kọ́ kó wa gẹ́gẹ́ bí owó àkọ́kọ́ san. Odidi ọdún kan gbáko ló máa fi san eléyìí tó kù pẹ̀lú ìrọ̀rùn. Tí wàá gbọ́ o, bó bá ti pé oṣù méje tó o ti ń sanwó yìí bọ̀, tó o ti sanwó yìí tán, tó o tún wá fẹ́ tún ilẹ̀ rẹ tà lówó gọbọi, a ó fún ọ láyè kó o gbalẹ̀ rẹ kó o tà kó o sì sanwó tiwa tó kù. Gẹ̀rẹ̀gẹ̀rẹ̀ kọ́dún yìí ò tó tán, ìwọ náà ti kó sínú ilé rẹ nu òde láńlọ́ọ̀dù. Fún ẹ̀kúnrẹ́rẹ́ àlàyé, pé iléeṣẹ́ IAS sórí nọ́mbà yìí 091-3901-1255.
Oni electronics don kiwa, wipe Ramadan Mubarak won kiwa. Ilese Oni electronics don ki gogo wa, omi ni mummy na tu won kiwa. Ya salam, won tun shadura fun wa, pemi wa to bere re. Ni o yori elayo, emi yare iye osu yi.
Ami
Oni electronics won kiwa.
Bo se ro gbaun ninu okan mi, je ko ma ro gbaun gbaun ninu okan ti e na. Wipe bo ba fe ra electronics to jojulowo pombele, to wo re o si gani lara. Oni electronics ni ko ma lo. Deep freezer, television, generator, air conditioner ti be lo. Oni electronics wa ni adojuko post office, Sapon, Abeokuta. Telephone 0803-350-6850. Oni electronics number 1.
Oni electronics don kiwa. Wipe Ramadan Mubarak won kiwa. Ilese Oni electronics don ki gogo wa. Omi ni mummy na tu won kiwa.
Thank you for staying with us. We'll open the phone lines now. 081-33-55-3996 and 0701-352-9228. Good morning to you.
Good morning, my dear people in the house. I am MOK from United States of Haiti. I will start from the issue of IBDC. IBDC is exploiting and exploiting Nigerians. You could imagine in Haiti here, church last month, we expense light for only 3 hours one day. Then in February, only 1 hour, 12 minutes. And they will be bringing huge bills. You could imagine that. And that is what is happening everywhere. I don't know when we are going to get out of this. Many of them, not only IBDC, they are exploiting the individuals in Nigeria. Take us to the bank. You will be charged for a service is not rendered. I don't know where we are going. I don't know. There should be a new orientation in Nigeria. That's to the issue of Father Kuka. Father Kuka is almost right. in his submissions every time. With the last submission, it's very okay. But if we look at it, we are talking about insecurity in states and what have you. Many states are yet to submit their papers for the security aspect. But what I think the federal government should do, give them immediate order that each state should go and constitute and give the feedback.
Thank you, Emoki. We have to take other calls now. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you all for being with us this morning. 0813-355-3996. Morning.
Hello, good morning, Emmanuel.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, my name is Onishola. I'm calling from Rwanda. Yes, I want to talk about loading of crude oil in tankers. You see, government will cause more harm on the road they are building. Because when this thing spilled on the asphalt, there's nothing we can do about it than to melt the asphalt and then destroy the whole of the road. When these tankers break down on the road, there's no way any other vehicle can pass through until they are towed from the road. Why not using the rail? Why not using the rail to do whatever you want to do so that we can be at the comfort side and be at the safer side? Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for keeping it short. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Emmanuel. Okay. I'm agreeing to research on my dear sister. Now, you're from the calling from Zaro. I think the controversy between the former government and the current governor is Basoli. I think everybody's not expecting governor Basoli to keep mood when his majority has already mortgaged the future of the state. It normally be a burden to the current government if the past one president has been borrowing a good sum of amount of money. Now, a substantial amount was deducted for loan services. So the government was left with a partial amount of money. How can we develop the country with that? Develop the state with that? So it's finally really want to pay the salary. But I will advise the current governor to be genius in his thinking. Whatever if you show up with a revenue allocation, getting more money from the internal and general revenue, so that you'll be able to meet up with the financial obligation in the country. There is no doubt Mr. Beto Obi, he played ethnic and for the religious politics during the period. And I always be taking it up. When he used to say that he won the election, from where did he win the election? He should not be delusional. He should prepare for 2027. All this thing is saying is not part of it, that he won the election. The election is free and fair, and the winner is much.
Thank you. I guess you mixed up what we said this morning on Peter Obi. It was Onanuga who was actually talking about Obi. And that's that. Let's pick some of the messages we have. Humanitarian Abdurashid Okinla from Shakwan Abeokuta says, Nigerians are religious but not godly. Can you now hear it again?
It be true. We go support you forever. We go make sure say you conquer. Nana Pia Mensa say he go serve our problem. Choose xylophone, xylophone musico, xylophone musico. My yo, my yo, xylophone music. Oh 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 oh, Ghana damwasi yo, xylophone musico. My yo, my yo, xylophone music. Oh 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 oh, Ghana damwasi yo.
My chairman. Nana Apia Mensa. They call you bro. I know say no be every musician who go understand what I want to talk. But all I want to talk is say we need this unity and love to conquer the world. Life.
It's okay, Hype Media. Sick of me.